A series of Miami Herald articles last year looking at a spate of child deaths prompted the Florida legislature to look into overhauling the state's child welfare system. More recently, the newspaper published an investigative series called Innocence Lost that took a closer look at more than 400 deaths that happened under DCF's watch. And Stewart Republican Representative Gail Harrell says something has to be done. As the House Healthy Family Subcommittee Chair, she's leading her chamber search for solutions.
And we're also looking further at child safety issues. And given what has been highlighted in the Miami Herald articles, we're reviewing to make sure that our bill really is going to be effective in addressing these issues.
Her bill, very similar to the Senate's, rolls three proposals into one large House bill. Like its Senate companions, it allows for the Assistant DCF Secretary to take charge of other areas so it doesn't all fall on the DCF Chief's shoulders. It also places emphasis on the qualifications newly hired child protective investigators must have to do their job. That includes a degree in social work or a human services-related field. It also creates a new institute that will report back to the legislature on the effectiveness of the new training and education requirements. And Harrell says other provisions are devoted to transparency efforts.
In the long run, transparency is what's going to improve the system. We want to make sure that all child deaths are that come through our hotline that are a result of abuse are reported appropriately and that we know who they are, you know who they are, so the public is watching. And so that website's going to be extremely important. We're also making sure the public knows how we evaluate CBCs and that that's on a website.
The CBCs, or the community-based care organizations that work with DCF, will also have to put their budgets online. And per a Reuters probe, it hopes to take care of the issue of private rehoming. Those are the cases in which adoptive parents who no longer wish to care for a child use online groups to find a new home for the kid. It also makes sure that siblings stay together and if they can't, have every opportunity to communicate with one another. A huge priority for Thomas Fair, who represents foster care advocacy group Florida Youth Shine. As a former foster kid, he says he knows firsthand what it feels like to be separated from a sibling, his own twin brother.
You know, there wasn't a lot of people I could always depend on, but I knew for a fact I could always depend on him. And when we separated, we only spoke probably about five times on the phone and never seen each other throughout the whole entire time. And then a lot of times I didn't know exactly where he was because he was going all around the United States. And, you know, when he was here, when I finally got reunited, I was one of the greatest, happiest days of my life. The off part of that was that even though it was one of the happiest days of my life, I can honestly say that we were never, ever the same.
Fair says he'd also like the panel to consider allowing foster youth to keep in contact when foster siblings live in separate foster homes.
I can't tell you how many times that when a young man moves away, I wanted to try to stay in contact with him, like, hey, what's his information? Can I get in contact? And they can't tell me because it's confidentiality violations. And how can that happen whenever, you know, for some people don't have no brothers or sisters whatsoever, and I'm the only person in their life? Can that type of thing happen?
Others, like Stephen Murphy, who serves on the Child Protection Transformation Advisory Board, say while he likes the direction the bill is heading, he wants the panel to consider a reform that's done very well in Illinois, which once had a troubled child welfare system like Florida.
The major turning point for Illinois was the fact that they were the first public child welfare agency in the United States of America to become credentialed and certified by an outside body. So I think you may want to take a look at the fact that we need to have or explore the idea of utilizing an outside body such as COA or another body like that to look to credential our own DCF.
The 119-page bill also has the support of many members on the panel, including West Park Democratic Representative Chevron Jones.
I know Brian Pitts says it all the time that when the bill is long, there must be something wrong, but I beg to differ on this one here. I think that we've actually put together a good product.
Still, Esther Republican Representative Ray Rodriguez says he wishes lawmakers on the panel had more time to work on the proposal a bit more.
I think this is an excellent start. I wish we had another week to continue working on it, but I recognize this is our last meeting, and for that, I will be supporting the bill because this is a good bill. And I know we'll continue to work on it as it goes through the process. And if it doesn't do what we intend for it to do, we'll be back next year, Lord willing, and we'll continue this work.
The House Healthy Families Subcommittee unanimously agreed to advance the proposal and make it into a committee bill. Meanwhile, a series of reforms similar to the House's proposal recently passed a first Senate panel. But after the Miami Herald's investigative series, Hollywood Democratic Senator Eleanor Sobel, who chairs the Senate Children, Families and Elder Affairs Committee, says she's going to rewrite those reforms. For WFSU News, I'm Sasha Cordner.